إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Afterwards, inshallah, we are going to proceed with our exegesis and the explanations to how to pronounce the words of the glorious Quran, its connotations, knowing the specific moral rulings behind the verses, the interpretational meanings which affect the state of its sentences, its formation, and its sequences. If you could recall, we are still on under verse 196 of Surah Al-Baqarah, where the verse is telling us about the matters of pilgrimage, the issues of pilgrimage, where we dive into the discussion with regards to the differences between Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, the difference between the pilgrimage. The major one and the minor one. Where we mentioned about several opinions of the righteous predecessors with regards to the position of Al-Umrah. The position of Al-Umrah. Majority of the righteous predecessors, they went on the same that Umrah is wajib, is mandatory, as how the Hajj is mandatory, based on one's capability. As he possesses the capability towards Umrah, then it is a mandate, it is compulsory upon you. And the means, as we said, the agility, the ability, the capability included health standard, financial standard, and time standard. If you have enough time for that, then you can opt for that. So that's the mandate. But still, if we reflect to the issue, within the Sahaba, majority of the companions of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were on the same that it is wajib. Almost we can say all the Sahaba, they went on the same that Umrah is mandatory, it is obligatory, as how the Hajj is obligatory. For because if it is not obligatory, the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam will not go for Umrah al-Qadha. That is indicating that it is wajib. That is on the 7th year after Hijrah. You know, he went on the 6th year based on the inspiration he had. But he was blocked. He was prevented to enter into the Haram. As the negotiation took place, the treaty was written. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went back to Medina. After a year, he arrived for the Umrah al-Qadha. He went for the Umrah al-Qadha. This indicating the mandate, the obligation in Umrah. And that's the reason we would see majority of the companions of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they went on the same that Umrah is compulsory. Like the compulsion, like the mandate in the aspect of the major pilgrimage. We clear some of the doubt with regards to the financial status. As if you don't have the means for the major pilgrimage, based on your financial status, you can opt for the minor one. In terms of reward, they are of the same level. And the previous session we discussed on the values, the virtues, the merits of the pilgrimage, the importance, the benefit within, also the financial benefits with regards to the hosting nation, also to the pilgrims. So besides that, the basic point of our discussion is with regards to the first sentence in the verse, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. We heard about different modes of qira'ah, like the qira'ah of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. We'd give emphasis towards the same meaning. So in aligning to the position of the Umrah, as I said, majority of the companions of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they went on the same day. It is mandate, it is wajib. But still we mentioned one statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas. The statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas. In aligning that to the criteria used in jurisprudence, then we can derive another position to the Umrah. We can derive another position to the Umrah. You know the statement of Ibn Abbas? No? He said, is it not of this priesthood. He would just declare that Umrah is mandatory. Umrah is mandatory. Absolutely. We say that the position of the Umrah is like the position of the major pilgrimage. So from that statement, in the point of jurisprudence, we can derive a rule for that. He said, if not of tahammud, dispute, if not of confusion, and that is the statement of Ibn Mas'ud. Allahumma musta'an. That's the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. For Abdullah ibn Abbas clearly, later he went on the same day. Umrah is a partner to Al-Hajj. They are of the same status. They are of the same position. He said of Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, Wallahi innaha lakarinataha fi kitabillah. And he recited wa atimu al-hajja wa al-umrata lillah. As a reference. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was the one that has that mother of Iraq. Wa atimu al-hajja wa al-umrata lil-bayt. And based on that, he made the interpretation. He gave the elaboration. He said, Wallahi, lawla at-tahammud. He said, Wallahi, lawla at-tahammud. If not of confusion, if not of dispute, إني لم أسمع فيها من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شيئا لقلنا أن العمرة واجبة مثل الحج. العمرة is mandatory like the major pilgrimage. If not they did not have, if not they had something from the رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. So that means that there was an opinion, there was a certain clarification given by the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the companions. That's the reason why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was not in a confirmation directly that Umrah is compulsory. What is point of view? It's because he clearly mentioned that they had a particular information from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in our previous session, we mentioned about a hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that particular asaf of Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Abdullah bin Mas'ud was reported to have said, Al-Hajj faridatun wal-umratu tatawwa. The minor pilgrimage, that is Umrah, is voluntary. Al-Hajj faridatun, and that major pilgrimage is the compulsory, the one that is obligatory. Also there was hadith that we mentioned. The Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَالْأُمْرَةُ تَطَوُّ. الْحَجُّ جِهَادٌ وَالْأُمْرَةُ تَطَوُّ. So this would be the reference, part of the information, had by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And that hadith which was narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi. Imam al-Tirmidhi verified the authenticity of the hadith. He confirmed that the hadith is authentic one. In al-Jami'. Also Abd ibn Humayr narrated that hadith. Also Ibn Abi Shaybah, that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an answer to one particular man that asked him. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the person, لا وإن تعتمروا خير لكم. He asked the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam عن الأمرة واجبة. Which was the riya of Jabir bin Abdullah. That أن رجلا سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن العمرة أواجبة هي أواجبة هي قال لا ولا وأن تعتمروا خير لكم أن تعتمروا خير لكم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said no, but to perform the عمرة, to observe the عمرة, to commit to the عمرة is the best way to give the sanctuary gift. To perform the minor pilgrimage is best way. So it might be due to that information, due to that input that some of the Sahaba, some of the companions of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, basically Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, went on to say that he cannot declare Umrah as wajib to avoid confusion, which some information that he had from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He believes that Umrah is compulsory according to jurisprudence based on his statement. And this indicating how the companions of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are respecting the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the statement, explanations of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any information that they derive from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they value that. They submit to that. They have so many evidences from the verses, from some other ahadith that indicates the mandate with regards to the Umrah. But still, due to some other information that they have from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that that question forwarded to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that particular man, and the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا وأن تعتمروا خير لكم. It is not wajib. But if you are to perform the umrah, that is best for you. Philosophically, we understood what the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant by that. And that's the reason why in the previous session, we gave some clarification with regards to the difference between al-fardu and al-wajib in the point of jurisdiction. And this issue might be the reason why Imam Malik, Imam Dabi al-Hajra, Imam Malik bin Anas, and Imam al-Thawri, Sufyan al-Thawri, went on the same day, Umrah is Sunnah. Majority of the Fuqaha, the Fuqaha al-Arba, beside Imam Malik. Like even the Fuqaha al-Saba, for example, that's their opinion. Umrah is wajib. If you take the الأئمة الأربعة إمام أبو حنيفة، إمام أحمد، إمام الشافعي، ابن دو إمام الشافعي نقتل Say now, Jabir bin Abdullah. So we can say that Imam Shafi'i declined to two opinions. He went on to saying that it is clearly wajib. Like Abu Hanifa, like Imam Ahmad. And in another way, he aligned to the other opinion. So Imam Malik went on to saying that it is Sunnah. Number one is Sunnah. Likewise, Sufyan al-Thawri. You know Sufyan al-Thawri? His position is similar to the position of Al-A'immat al-Arba. He was also an Imam in terms of school of thoughts during his lifetime. But the only thing is that we don't have much students as compared to the students of Malik, Shafi'i, Ahmed, and Abu Hanifa. Like also Imam al-Awza'i. His position is similar to the position of Abu Hanifa, similar to the position of Malik. But in fact, even Imam Malik used to honor the position of Abu Amr al-Awza'i over his position. You know, even that hadith, that mursal, it was reported that the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Sayati al-Nasi Zaman Udribuna al-Nasa Akhbad al-Ibn Wala Dibuna Alima Illa Alima al-Madina. When that hadith or that mursal was reported to Abu Amr bin al-Awza'i, clearly Imam Malik, it was reported that he said he thinks, according to his own understanding, this statement is referred to. It is defining Abu Amr bin al-Awza'i, that he is the Alim al-Madin. And so many individuals that they had the interpretation of that particular hadith, or that particular mursal, from Abu Amr al-Awza'i, he said that was Malik. He said he is not the one. The majority of the righteous predecessors at then, they said this hadith, that hadith was referring to Imam Malik. So coming back to the discussion, Imam Malik went on to saying that Umrah is Sunnah, and also Sufyan al-Thawri. So what's the point? Is there shift of emphasis from that idea that it is Monday or not? If you review the concept of Sunnah in terms of the disposals, you would see that a Sunnah can be referred to something that is wajib. Because there is Sunnah mu'akkada also. And if you review the references given by Imam Malik when driving the rule with regards to the Umrah, you will see that still it is in that position. The reason why Umrah can be referred to Sunnah is because the Rasulullah sallam has done the Umrah. And he compensated that Umrah. So anything that requires compensation, according to the jurisprudence, that is wajib. And also, Umrah is aligned to the Hajj. Some they consider Umrah as a kind of prototype. No prototype. Prototype of the Hajj. The minor Hajj. So we know the theory in terms of Usul al-Fiqh. ما لا يصل الواجب إلا به فهو واجب. So pray in it anyway, it can be considered as al-wajib. But when we are talking about al-fardu, it would be another point of discussion. So also, in the issue of al-hajj wal-umrah, there are some terminologies that you should be familiar with. Should be familiar with it. Like the tawaf, al-ihram, al-sa'i between the safa and marwa. Like the hadya, like the tahleel. Al-jamra. And particularly the four basic terms have been used, which we mentioned in this particular verse. There is al-hil, hatta yablug al-hadiya, hadiyu mahilla. And there is haram and ihram. So you need to differentiate between al-hil and التحليل الحل والتحليل also الحرم والإحرام. You see الحل is a position that is not within the sanctuary. Any position, any place out of the sanctuary is الحل. Any action out of the position of the pilgrimage is التحليل. Or any action that will lead to an exit from the procession of the pilgrimage is considered as al-ihlal or al-tahleel. So if we say al-haram also, meaning the sanctuary, the place of the pilgrimage. And al-ihram, wal-ihram is taking the intention, the preparation for the procession, for the pilgrimage. It is al-ihram. That taking the ritual bath and wearing the clothing for the pilgrimage. That is the concept of al-ihram. So going back to the interpretation of the ayah, as we have Sheikh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir bin Abdullah al-Sa'id point out to us in his book of Tafsir about the merits, the lessons behind al-hajj wal-umrah. As we discussed on the points, he mentioned almost 7 points with regards to the wa'atimmu al-hajj wal-umrah lillah. That is in first volume of Tafsir al-Kareem Rahman, Tafsir al-Kalam al-Mannan, page 90. You would get that commentary of Imam al-Sa'idi. Likewise, in the Radd al-Adhan, ila ma'ani al-Qur'an, Sheikh Abu Bakr Mahmud Guni, rahimahullah, when he mention وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْأُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْأُمْرَةَ and complete the major pilgrimage and the minor pilgrimage and complete the major pilgrimage and the minor pilgrimage. He said أَدُّوهَا بِهُقُوكِهِمَا وَأَتَمُّوهَا أَدُّوهَا بِهُقُوكِهِمَا فيهما. فهم إيه؟ With their both responsibilities. With their both rulings. وأتموهما and complete both. So in the aspect of jurisprudence, we would understand that even the Shaykh, he affirmed that both Al-Hajj and Umrah are the same in status. They are mandatory because he established the sentence أدوهما بحقوقهما وأتموهما. أدوهما instead of أدوها أدوهما. That's what he mentioned when he mentioned about وأتموا الحج والعمرة لله. So he did not differentiate. Both are to be performed, are to be offered, are to be done. With due their rulings. And both are to be accomplished. Whereby he mentioned, وَإِنْ حَصَلَ بِهِمَا فَسَادٌ. Even if a corruption occurs within the both, even if a problem interferes, where he mentioned, ثم قدوهما ألا ما بينته السنة ثم قدوهما. Then you can be embossed على ما بينته السنة فيهما based on what the prophetic fashion elaborates in both. So the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam has done Umrah al-Qadr to be involved the Umrah that he intends, the Umrah that he intends to perform in the 6th year after Hijrah, where he experienced a blockade from the people of Mecca. So in حصل بهما فساد, if a problem, a tragedy occurred when offering these two obligations, then you can be embossed, you can compensate either the Hajj or the Umrah, the ones that or the one that a problem interfere while willing to perform or while performing that obligation. And so why he mentioned, فَإِنْ أُحْسِرْتُمْ. If you were prevented, if you are prevented, if you are blocked, if you are blocked from performing that obligation, مُنِعْتُمْ أَنْ إِتْمَامِهَا بِعُدْوَ. أي معنى بِعُدْوَ. You were prevented to accomplish them. To accomplish both. Due to persecution. فَمَا اسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْحَجِّ. So what is possible from a sacrificial animal. فَمَا اسْتَيْسَرَ. In the Rabbil Al-Han, he said, Tayassar, I mean, what is easy? What do you find easy? From the sacrifice. I tayassar min al-hadith. What is easy in terms of sacrifice? Tayassar min al-hadith alaykum. What is easy? From the sacrifice upon you. On you. So in Rabbil Adhan he said, وَهُوَ شَاكِ. And that is a lamb. The Shaykh in the Radd al-Adhan, he considered the Hadaya to be a lamb. The sacrificial animal to be a lamb, like a goat, for example. Ashad ma'ana lamb. So you know in the issue of Al-Hadaya, majority of the righteous predecessors, they went on the saying that Hadaya has to be on camels or the carcass, meaning the cows. Like if you refer to the Adwa al-Bayan, like the saying of Sheikh Amin al-Din al-Shankib, the saying of Muhammad al-Amin bin Muhammad al-Mukhtar bin Abd al-Qadir al-Jakani al-Shankib, in his popular book of Exodus, Adwa al-Bayan, في ضحي القرآن بالقرآن. He clearly stated the issue of Al-Hadaya, of which when he mentioned the مستيسر من الحل, he said فدمهر الألماء على أن المراد به شاتن فما فوقها. Majority of the scholars, they went on the saying that the Hadaya should be a lamb to whatsoever is ahead of lamb, meaning the minimum should be a lamb. So as for the Shaykh in Radd al-Adhan, he went on the lamb, shatun. He said, وَهُوَ شَاتٌ. He take the minimum one. And maybe the reason why Shaykh took that opinion is with due reviewing of the financial situation, financial affair of Al-Hadaya. That's the reason why, because he's a faqih, a jurist, and it was Al-Qadi, Allah al-Musta'ad. So might be the reason why he took the minimum value, that is a shah, a lamb. So majority of the scholars, they went on the saying that the hadaya should be from lamb to whatsoever that is ahead of lamb, what is beyond. And that was the first of the first school of thoughts. Likewise, the opinion of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And that was the opinion of Ibn Abbas. That was the opinion of Imam Tawus. That was the opinion of Atta'u bin Yasar. That was the opinion of Mujahid bin Jabal. That was the opinion of Abu al-Aliyah. And that was the opinion of Muhammad bin Ali bin al-Husayn. And that was the opinion of Ibn al-Qasim, that is Abd al-Rahman bin al-Qasim. Likewise, Imam al-Sha'bi. Likewise, Imam al-Nakhi. That was the opinion of Hassan al-Basri. That was the opinion of Ibn al-Di'ama. That was the opinion of Qatada. Ibn al-Di'ama al-Sadusi. And that was the opinion of Imam al-Dahhaj. Muqatil, that is Muqatil ibn Hayyan. And so many others from the righteous predecessors. They said the Hajj should be from lamb to whatsoever that is beyond. And particularly within the domestic animals in specification. So suppose if there are no domesticated animals, there are no livestock, unless the wild animals, is there hada in the wild animals? That was one among the debates between the fuqaha. I will leave you with this question, because that's not the important point of discussion. Our point of discussion is related to the hadaya. So also Ibn Kathir, if you take Tafsir al-Qur'an al-Azim, you take the book of Tafsir of Ibn Kathir, you would see that he elaborated on the issue of al-hadaya. And some of the scholars in their exegesis, with regards to our state 7 million hadith, clearly they stated, they said, إِنَّمَا هُوَ الْإِبْنُ وَالْبَقَرُ دُونَ الْغَنَمِ. They said, the state 7 million hadith from the camels and the cows, the cattle, beside the livestock, besides lambs. Lambs are exempted. The goats are exempted. And that was the saying that was narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha. Also Abdullah ibn Umar. Also the statement of the opinion of Salim Mawla Abu Huzaifa. The opinion of Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad in one narration. Likewise, Urwah ibn Zubayr, Sa'id ibn Jubayr, and others beside this individual in the companions, and likewise from the Tabi'in. And the reason why they had that opinion is due to the incident of Hudaybiyah. For because almost all the companions of the Rasulullah ﷺ, they did not offer their hadaya with any lamb. No any goat that was used as hadaya during Hudaybiyah. Because they sacrifice camels and cows. And what's strengthening that is that hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, which was narrated by Imam al-Bukhari and also Imam Muslim. Jabir radiallahu anhu mentioned, أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نشترك في الإبل والبقر كل سبعة منا في بقرة. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم he commanded us to associate, to join together in camels and in the cows, instead of each and every person to sacrifice cows and cows, for example. There is wisdom behind that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, since that is a mandate, part of their obligation, they should make an association. So كل سبعة منا في بقرة لك 7 on seven, each seven individuals within us with one cow. And likewise, if we view the issue with regards to economy, with regards to agriculture, would derive so many benefits. And as far as agriculture, I have an opinion that instead of abstaining from rearing of cows due to the expense, seven individuals can join to own a cow instead of waiting until the time when you have that enough amount of money to buy a cow. You can get some partners. Better if you have the cows. For even now, if you go to my auntie's house, some of my uncles, they have cows. I could remember the time whenever I visit their places, I just go there in order to have the milk. So cows are very important. And that's why you see, due to the importance and the value of cow, the second surah in the Quran is Surah Al-Baqarah, the chapter that we are discussing. The cow. You know, besides the cow, there is cash cows. You know? So when you talk about cow, which cow are we talking about? Like someone that says that she has cows. So we don't know which cows she has. The cash cows or the normal cows. Allahu musta'an. So cows are very important. Review the expense of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, review the financial situation, and he recommend to the Sahaba in terms of hadiah. Seven individuals are dedicated to make hadiah of one particular cow. So the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah is the hadith that influences so many from the scholars to reaffirm that al-hadah should be in camels or in the cows. But the opinion of Sheikh Muhammad bin Amin al-Din al-Shanqibi, after elaborations, after some elaboration and analysis to the opinions of the righteous predecessors, and that of statement of Ibn Kathir, he said the most valid opinion with regards to the hadith, and al-murad mustaysara min al-hadith ma tayassara mimma yusamma hadith. What is meant to what is feasible of sacrifice? Matesara, mimma yusamma hadiyan. What is feasible of what would be considered as a sacrifice? Suppose if a person takes an ant or a butterfly, can it be considered as hadiyan? You see, it will not be considered. Or an insect, or a mosquito, for example. You know how prevalent the mosquitoes are, free of charge, or the house fly, this is a fly, for example. Or the bed bug, al-baraqis, al-baraqus, for example. Or the bee, you know, it will not be considered as a sacrifice. So So anything that would be considered as a sacrifice, that is, must stay surrounding your head. Where he stated that, وَذَلِكَ شَامِلٌ لِجَمِيلِ الْأَنْعَامِ, and that is comported that comprises all the livestock, all the cattle, camels, cows, the lambs, she camels, وكلاً he even mentioned that والبقرة والناقة والبقرة أولاد الإبزار she can the cow are the ones that are supposed to be sufficient for the hadith. This made me to remember one particular incident of one artist, one poet. He was praising one particular local leader, a ruler. He was praising him, To the extent that he donated, he offered to that poet what is so sufficient. Has given him so many cash. But still the poet did not stop in that particular phrase. So the Buddha decided to say, I give you a cow. I dash you a cow. So after the occasion, he was waiting to receive the cows. He asked, where are my cows? He said, isn't you praising me with something that you know it is beyond sense capability? It is beyond inculcation? So I compensate you with that which is quite accurate for you. Allah musta'an. So if you offer a cow, even as a donation, see it is a valuable livestock. That is much to be considered of the hadith. So if you review to the incident of Hudaybiyah. We end up not considering a lamb in the hadith. But going back to our initial discussion, the Sheikh in Radd al-Azhar mentioned that وَهُوَ شَاكِي, it is a lamb. Meaning he has taken the minimum limit, the minimum range as shared. And why is it? Because there was hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha where she reported, and that hadith is an authentic hadith. He said, أهدى صلى الله عليه وسلم مغتن جنم. There was a time where Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam that made a sacrifice with a lamb. Once the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam made a sacrifice of lamb. Due to that hadith, the ulama, the Jews, they considered that lamb are included. So there are so many wisdom why the scholars of Exodus The scholars of jurisprudence, they consider dams to be included. And even, and the Almighty mentioned, وَلَا تَحْلِقُوا رُؤُوسَكُمْ. The Sikh mentioned, أَلَا تُحَلِّلُ. You should not quit. وَلَا تَحْلِقُوا رُؤُوسَكُمْ. And do not shave your heads. Meaning, if you start with the procession of the Hajj and the Umrah, do not shave your heads. أَلَا تُحَلِّلُ. Do not quit. Because the more you shave your head, the more you quit from the ritual, from the procession. So that is the issue of at-tahleel. Quitting from the manasik. So there is a valid quitting and invalid one. A valid quitting is due to a concrete reason. Like al-maghdu, sickness, illness, that the Almighty mentioned in the same ayah. Or due to a medical intervention, for example. In that case. So that was a valid one. These are valid reasons of which a person can proceed further with his manas, with the procession. The only thing is that a person has to offer a ransom. In that. But a person intentionally shaved his head, then he quit from the procession. He must re-establish his manasik. And based on the time. If it is within the time that he crosses to the point where some of the manasik will not be reimbursed until the next year, like in terms of Hajj, then the Hajj become invalidated until the person get a chance for the upcoming year to the next Zilhijjah, for example. So that's the reason why Sheikh mentioned لا تحلل أي لا تحلل, not quit. That's the meaning of shaving of heads. And to go medical intervention, like what the Almighty mentioned, من كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر ولا تحلقوا رؤوسكم حتى يبلغ الهدي محله. The sin of the Almighty. أو به أذن رأسي. If a person has an ailment in his head, for example, that is a valid reason. When the person started with the manasik, then the person called into a condition of sickness. Person experienced an illness or ailment that requires a surgical intervention. You see, the head of the person has to be shaved, for example. You must shave the hair, for example. For any operation, surgical intervention, there is a need for body, a trimming, for example. So the more you trim your hair, the more you acquit from the manasik. But a medical intervention is a valid reason that is not considered as a tahallul. The person can offer the ransom for that and proceed further with his manasik. Meaning he will proceed further with the manasik, but after accomplishment of the entire manasik, the procession, he must to offer a ransom. فِدْيَةُ مِنْ سِيَامِ أَوْ سَرَقَةٍ أَوْ نُسُكٍ وَلَا تَحْلُقُوا رُؤُوسَكُمْ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ الْحَدِيُّ مَحِلَّ. Until the sacrificial animal reached to its position. Where the Sheikh mentioned حتى يبلغ الهدي المزكى. Sacrificia. Mlinda anima. Anisha muhallihi haisu yahillu zabihihi. Where the sacrifice is locked down, become lawful. Approaching the Qadil Azhar, he said that was the position of the prevention in the school of thoughts, like Malikiya and the Shafi'iyya. So, هو مكان الحصار عند المالكية والشافعية وقيل في الحرم. And also it was said that in the harem. You know that صلى الله عليه وسلم experienced a blockade when he was on his way to the harem at Hudaybiyah. And صلى الله عليه وسلم met the hada at Hudaybiyah. You know, Hudaybiyah will not be considered as al-Hiram. It will not be considered as al-Hiram, but it can be considered as al-Hillu. And that's why even in Radd al-Afhan he mentioned the point of the differences in opinion, the muhallin yuza or muhallin khilaf. Because there is a question in jurisprudence. هل هليبية بحث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحل أو في الحرم؟ Is the هليبية where رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم experienced the blockage? Is الحل أو الحرم؟ Is it part of the sanctuary? Is it a sanctuary or out of sanctuary? So there is this kind of discussion, this kind of debate. هل الحديبية في الحل في الحل أو في الحرم؟ Isn't he a discourse these terms الحل والتحلل الحرم والإحرام؟ So if you say الحل أو المحل, normally is a definition to a position, a place, or even a time. Al-mahal refers to a time or a position. So if you consider al-halu in referring to the time, so we would consider that as far as it is within the ashhur al-hurum, within the Ayam al-Manasik, then it is valid to make the sacrifice, even if we experience a blockage. If we are inaccessible to the sanctuary due to illness or any other issue, persecution or sanctioning or political instabilities, or we experience an injury that requires surgical intervention. So from the linguistical point of view, if we said al-hillu, it can be referred to al-muhallu. Al-muhallu can be referred to al-zaman wal-makan. All this elaboration we also done in Radd al-Azhar. وابن رجل الأذهان في العلم المنشن فيصبح فيه بنية التحلل ويفرق المساكين ويحلق ويحلق would make the sacrifice in that duration with the intention of quitting, exiting from the procession, meaning the person accomplished the manasik. And that would be shared to, would be delivered, would be distributed to masakin, the four individuals, the needies. And then the person would shave his head, would go to the barber, the barbing saloon, and shave his head. So why is it that you are not allowed to shave your hair within those durations, 10 days of the ayam al-hajj? Because that is a rule, and that's what the Rasulullah has done, and that's what he commanded. And that's what God the Almighty revealed in this verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 196. But do not misanalyze the statement to stay without shaving your hair to the ayyam al-hajj. You know, you need to be hygienic. You must maintain the hygiene. You know the hadith of the Rasulullah about al-fitrah, the normal way of behaving, the conduct, behavior. Rasulullah mentioned about personal hygiene, circumcision, trimming the pubic hair, trimming the hair of the armpit, trimming the moustache, and shaving the hair of the armpit, shaving the pubic hair, and the trimming of moustache. For example, and according to the prophetic fashion, the scholars of jurisprudence, they make clarification on this matter. They said that you are not supposed to stay for more than 2 weeks without taking care of this part of your body. This part of your body. Ensure within 2 weeks, maximum 2 weeks, you shave your armpit, your groin region, your pubic. Here is trimmed away. And make sure you are circumcised. Usually, according to Sunnah, since within the young age. So even on the day of, that is within the week, first week of the delivery, the child is getting circumcised. Like Isa alayhi salam was circumcised on 7 days after the living. So likewise, it has benefit. It saves so many individuals from STI, so many sexually transmitted diseases or communicable diseases, infectious diseases. There is one issue that we should reflect with regards to female genital mutilation. One of the critical issues. So because this is a common culture in some of the African subcontinental countries, in some of the African countries, like in Kenya, in Mauritania, in the Sudan also, and also in the Somali. There are some of the tribal cultures with regards to female genital mutilation. So any cut or mutilation to a girl child, private organ, is a criminal act, you should know. Unless if it is medically prescribed by the doctors, by the physician, for example, for clearly scientifically it was identified. That any girl child that has genitalia is mutilated, that would decrease her libido. That would have an impact on her sexual life. So it can be a criminal act. Be careful. Allahu musta'an. So circumcision is part of personal hygiene, right? Because so many incidences of pandemics and infectious diseases occurred during the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But through those ways, people were saved from all those infectious diseases. Due to what? Adhering to the hygienic habits. So according to religious decadence, according to the religious jurisprudence, you should not cross 7 days and maximum 2 weeks without taking care of these regions. Trimming your mustache, shaving your armpit, your pubic hair, your groin hair, and you need to constantly give visit to the barbing salon to have a haircut, for example, whatsoever, side cut. This is another kind of discussion, whatsoever. If you wish have afro low cut, you know what we call afro low cut, for example. During the olden days, there was a particular hairstyle that has been done to the teenagers or the children. We call it devil mount, or the hairstyle of Bobby. Allahu musta'an. So when you reach to a certain age, for example, you know, you are highly grown, you are responsible for any mode of living, any manner, any action, so whatsoever. God has his own preference in terms of devotion, in terms of hajj. Do not shave your hair until you accomplish the manasik. And likewise, the cutting of nails is part of the hygienic manners. Cutting nails. Cut your nails. Don't allow it to stay for long. You know, there was a woman that got Guinness World Record. Basically for so many years without trimming her hair. Allah, her fingernails, without cutting her fingernails. She got an award for that, but specifically in terms of hygiene, you are not to leave all this part of your body, all this part of your body without taking care of. You should stay in a hygienic manner. And likewise, the use of perfume. It's not allowed for the pilgrims during the time of the pilgrimage. Because there are so many wisdoms behind it. We are not discussing on the wisdom behind. For example, if we talk about and Hadith. This is the elaborations. This is the elaboration regarding the Hadith. Allahumma ista'an. So, فمن كان منكم مريضا أو به أذى من رأسه whoever that is sick, that is in the condition of sickness, illness, أو به أذى من رأسه, or the person has ailment on his head, he got an injury, maybe someone stoned the person, or the area would attack the person, or due to a riot, for example, or this unreasonable, protest, demonstration, a kind of bullet intercept the person. The person get an injury. When Radd al-Athlan, he mentioned Kaqumali, وسداء وحلق في الإحرام like due to a tumor, like due to a cancer, a cancerous tumor. الكمل بمعنى tumor. وسداء and a headache due to a severe headache or tumor, a cancer. فهلق في الإحرام and the person shaved his head, meaning the hair of his head, while doing the procession, while he is in the procession, while he is in the condition of al-hajj or umrah before accommodation. So you see, this interferes with the manasik. So in that case, when a person develops a brain cancer or a tumor on the head of the person, or due to a headache, a severe headache that leads to a trimming or shaving, فَفِدْيَةٌ مِنْ سِيَامٍ أَوْ سَلَقَةٍ أَوْ نُسُكٍ. So a ransom of fasting, or charity, or a sacrifice. When the Radd al-Azhar, Sheikh mentioned, Fidyatun, Nwana alayhi, Fidyatun alayhi, a ransom on the person. Min siyami, said thalathatu ayyam, 3 days fasting. Aw sadaqatin, or a charity, ala sittati masakin, to 6 needs, to 6 poor individuals. لكل مسكين مداني من غالب قوت البلد. To each and every مسكين, each and every poor individual, a need, would be given to مد النبي. That is equivalent to half kg. من غالب قوت البلد. To the most habitual meal of the town. What's the most habitual meal of the town? Of your town? Like in the Haram, for example, in Mecca. Maybe you would say Zarbayan or Mandi, for example. What about in your town? Is it biryani or jollof rice or couscous or brabisco or paratha or chapati or roti? Pizza or burger or shawarma, whatsoever that is habitual meal of the town. Is it apple? Is it amala? Is it ragi? Is it mangi? All those, that would be. So any from the habitual meal of the town, you know, in these matters, some people will be coming political. You know, in the previous Ramadan, we were discussing on the issue of jollof rice. The debate, I think it is solved now. We need to resolve this matter. The Senegalese, they said that they have the best jollof rice. the Ghanaians and Nigerians. For example, they said the jollof rice of their own country is the one that is the best one. When you talk about biryani, everyone knows which one is the best one. When you talk about Zerbian, the many Zerbian, I think, is the best. You cannot just say both. Both Ghanaian jollof rice or are all delicious. No, you must differentiate. That's not the point of the discussion of Muslims to us, but it leads us to this debate. So, for fidyatun min siyamin aw sadaqatin aw nusuk, whoever that has an ailment or a sickness, experience a sickness, while in the possession of the Hajj, then such person has to perform a fasting as disbursement, as a ransom for that. So also, aw sadaqa, or giving out charity. The fasting is the fasting of 3 days that Almighty Allah mentioned in the ayat. فَسِيَامِ سَلَاسِكَ أَيَّامِ وَسَبَاتٍ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ. So in that regard, where a person trim his head, shave the hair of his head, when people trim the hair of their heads, then the pilgrims, or a person among the pilgrims, shave the head during the manasik. So such person has to offer a ransom. His Hajj or Umrah is valid, but he has to offer a ransom as disbursement for that. The fasting for 3 days, or sadaqatin, or a charity, that is to feed 6 masakin, as how it was stated in Rabbil Azhar ila ma'ani al-Qur'an. Min ghalib uti al-balad, and it should be from the habitual meal of the town. Whatsoever that is the habitual meal in your town. Whatsoever that is the habitual, based on the value of that meal. For example, is it toko? Is it moi moi? Is it ogali? Is it tu? Is it waina? You know all this. Allahu musta'an. The habitual meal of the town. Based on that, you would offer to the miskin. So that's how the sadaqah should be. Due to the time limitation, we are going to have a full stop here. Whatsoever we discuss, we ask God the Almighty to guide us in it. We are going to proceed further from this point of the ayah. Fidyatun min siyamin aw sadaqatin. Further elaboration with regards to the differences of Umrah and the Hajj and the reward within, you can refer to the Kitab al-Manasik of Sayyid Ibn Khuzaymah, like from Hadith 358. And also you can refer to Kitab al-Hajj of Sayyid Ibn Hibban from the 9th volume 9 of Sayyid Ibn Khuzaymah, from page 5 to page 16. He mentioned all those authentic hadith with regards to the issues in the position of Al-Umrah and the major pilgrimage. And whatsoever that interferes within our discussion of any erotic or unnecessary discussion, we ask God the Almighty to erase that from our deeds. And to be honest also, وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. La 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 la